Good morning, Trinity. Welcome. I'd just like to make a couple of announcements this morning. The prayer cards and visitor cards or member cards are right up front. Please fill those out. And we'd like to say this morning, while you're going to be sharing the piece, I am not going to shake hands. I just don't want to give you what I have. And so we're going to take some extra precautions there. But I do want to wish you a very warm and blessed worship service today. And if you could, at this time, reach out and welcome one another. Good morning. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The second Sunday after Epiphany, the Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The young man, Samuel, was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for the servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin in a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel for this Sunday is recorded in the book of St. John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We've found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe me? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Here ends the reading of our Holy Gospel. You may be seated. Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The sermon notes are found in your weekly bulletin. I hope you'll follow along there and fill that out. And also the Pew Bibles have 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 to 10. And Evan, if I could have you put the sermon slide up for 1 Samuel. Epiphany, the season that we're in right now, is making known the presence of the Lord, the revealing and the anticipation of God that has arrived. And so when we start to look at this, we see that all of these things are happening in today's three lessons. And we see that the Lord is being made known as he is present. And in Samuel's case, it was that he had revealed a vision to Samuel. And as a result, our text tells us that visions were not frequent in those days and that it seemed as though they were very rare in our opening verse. And perhaps that's what we see in our day as we look at and explore and see the fact that the Word of God is printed and given and is that which is God's Word unto salvation. And that we have all of that Word that we certainly do and can and must rely upon. As we start to look at this text, how did God get Samuel's attention? And as you start to look at that, I'd just like to have you think that out and to write your answer there. How did God get Samuel's attention? He simply kept calling on Samuel by name. And it was such a rare thing that Samuel didn't even think that it might be the Lord. But I'd like to ask you, how does God get your attention? How do you know that God's got your attention? How does he speak to you, get your attention, that you say, I've got to listen? For some of us, it's circumstances. For some of us, it's a situation that just seems to have come up from nowhere or from such a situation of great despair that we have to turn to the Lord. And for others, it might be a sickness or a suffering. It might be also that simply God is giving you a ministry gut, is what I call it. I've had more than one occasion where I knew that I was supposed to call upon such and such a member, and certainly it was the case that I needed to spend simply some time with them. How does God get your attention? As you and I start to look at it, where does God speak to your heart and mind? Where is it that God simply speaks to us? Sometimes you and I start to look at our study of God's Word. I don't know if you're in the business or the habit, but I like to sit with my Bible and take a piece of paper and write down what I'm listening to, and I call it journaling, and I try to listen to the truths of God's Word and what it applies to my life and how it is to guide and direct me in the situation that I find my life in. And I call that journaling. And so maybe that's something that happens, because as you go back and read through those, and as you add your prayers to that journal, you start to see how God is indeed speaking to your heart. It might be in worship that you start to hear a message, you start to hear a song, you start to see people who've shown up. And you see the miracle that God has done in their life. You start to see and think about things that you are praying about as you receive the worship. It might be that you hear the Lord speaking to you as you hear that message, or that as you come to communion and you hear the Lord speaking, even as he did to Samuel. Does not the Lord say to us, take, eat, take, drink, this is my body, this is my blood given for you, shed for you, for the remission of all your sins? That's what Jesus says to you as he calls your name. And as we start to think about baptism here, were you not called by name through the waters of God's grace as he splashed water upon you? As he immersed you in the grace and the flowing of the Holy Spirit into your life. As he chose you to be his son or his daughter, he spoke to you. He spoke to you as you and I start to think about the very things that we go through in all of our life. As we start to see the Word of God that is a lamp unto our salvation, a light unto our path, we start to see that God is speaking to us in so many ways. And from the cross of Calvary, I'm so reminded about how Jesus, looking down upon the crowds, prayed for us. He prayed for you and me as he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done." He includes you and me in that prayer. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, that very night before he was crucified, we remember Jesus praying for us that you and I might be one with the Father, even as he is one. Yes, the Lord speaks our name. The Lord speaks to us as his people. As you and I start to think about the Lord, Samuel went into Eli three times. And he put, finally, Eli, a blind man and old and advanced, says, "If you hear the voice again, tell him, speak. Lord, your servant hears and listens." Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Who was speaking to Samuel? It was the Lord. What did Samuel promise to do? Listen. What does it imply he would do? He would take action upon the word of the Lord. As you and I start to think about this whole thing, we start to be reminded about the very things of God. And I want to just say it reminds me of my three little boys as they were always trying to find a way to get back into my bed and try to say, I heard something. And you start to think about young children doing that all the time. But as you and I start to see it, it was much, much more. The Lord truly was speaking to Samuel. Lord, speak, your servant listens. Last Monday evening, I believe it was, on the 8th, the Trinity downtown met here to have a town hall meeting. And in that meeting, we heard about all the various plans of the congregation. We went back to the original Century 2 plans, voted in and approved at 2011. We thought and we prayed about that, and those were approved back then. And so we began to look at, yes, an offer that had been made on our Magnolia building that brought this conversation to bear. But we had to ask the question, but what about our 2011 Century 2 plans? And Rocky did a wonderful job of presenting those plans in detail and spelling them out. And as we started to look at them, we came to a conclusion that we needed to have more meeting and we need to be discussing more things about how we might do these ministry opportunities that are before us. I looked at my time and words, and I simply said, I need to remind you that this is the Lord's church and that we are his children. I think the one thing that we should do and must do is pray, and that we would commit to pray every day. One of our members stood up and said, I think that so often we make such pledges and promises that we need to remind ourselves. And so it came forward as a suggestion from the floor, from her, that we would set our alarms at 12 noon every day and that we would pray for wisdom from God for the direction of our congregation. I invite all of you to join the rest of us in doing that and to pray at 12 noon that you would be guided and ask the Lord's blessing upon our vision and direction as we look at the second century of ministry that is before us. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, and you called me." But he said, "No, I didn't call you. Go lie down again." But as you and I both know, it was the Lord. And Eli was very motivated to ask Samuel the next day what he had said. What I must tell you is that Eli's sons were evil. Among other sins, they were partying and debauchery and were sleeping around, we could say. inside of the temple gates. And as a result, Eli did nothing to constrain them. And as a result, the Lord called punishment upon his household. And that's what the vision was that God told Samuel about. If you would read just the next chapter or two, you would see that this is what happened. The Philistines came in and took the Ark of the Covenant. And as a result, when they did, the battle that ensued, two of Eli's sons were killed. And Eli, when he heard the news, was so distraught that he fell off the stool that he was upon and broke his neck, thus fulfilling the prophecy that had been given to young Samuel. As you and I look at the word of the Lord, we see that God means business. We see and we understand that God wants to guide and direct us, and that he has spoken his word into our hearts and in our minds, and that he has given us the ability to speak that word of wisdom, that word which guides and directs, that word which is able to bring salvation upon all who hear it. It reminds me of Philip and Nathanael in our gospel lesson. And when Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Israel or out of Nazareth?" Philip's answer was simple: "Come and see." I think that sometimes you and I make the witnessing so difficult. And so I would just remind you in this one little verse, just to invite people to come and see. Come and see. You don't need a ton of Bible verses just to say that. You simply need to invite somebody. And so as you and I are witnesses and servants of the Lord, like Eli, like Samuel, we simply speak what the Lord has said. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me in the confession of our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed do give you thanks that you have spoken into our lives, calling us through the waters of holy baptism to be your children. We thank you for speaking to us as you spoke to young Samuel, as we commune this day, as you tell us to take, eat, and to take, drink for the forgiveness of our sins and the renewal. O Lord and Savior, we thank you and give you praise. We thank you for praying for us from the cross and in the garden. We thank you, Lord. Before the foundations of the world, before the first star was hung in the sky, you had called us by name to be yours. Before there was even one day ordained for us, you had already recorded our names in the book of life. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we give you thanks and ask your blessing upon our church. Guide and direct our future ministry decisions. Give us all that we need to do all that you've called us to do, and at the same time to be responsible stewards of all that you give us. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the people, we thank you for the plans, and we thank you for this place of ministry. And we ask, O Lord, that you would allow us to be strong beacons of hope and of salvation into this community. That you give us a steadiness of heart and of praise to your holy name. And that as your children, we would be walking ever forward to accomplish that which you have given us. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers of those prayers that have been requested this day.
Dear Lord Jesus, we bring before you the prayers and supplications of the congregation. We ask your blessing upon Jesse, who will be undergoing surgery this week, and ask your blessing for positive results. For the family of Cecil Allen, dear Father, we extend our prayers for Rita Allen, the wife and mother who passed from this life yesterday. We ask your blessing on the family as they mourn her passing. For David and Christopher, may you, dear Father, comfort both of them upon the death of their wife and mother. We ask your blessing upon Pastor Carl Stevens. With prayers for a positive surgery procedure this week for a kidney transplant that will take place on Wednesday. Touch him, dear Father, touch the surgical team that will be working on him as we pray for his successful recovery and a successful surgery. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers. O Lord and Savior, we also pray for Yvonne Scott, Julia Lassiter's mother, who's hospitalized. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless her and bring her recovery. We thank you that the fall was not as severe as earlier thought. And we also ask that you be with the family of Pat Cording at her passing. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless those who will gather for her memorial service on Monday, and ask that you would comfort the family with everyone's presence. Lord, in your mercy. And now we pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he's betrayed, took the bread, and when he'd broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, after he'd taken the cup and had supped, he gave it unto them, having blessed it, and said, "Take and eat, drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, given and shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as you take this cup, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not the participation in the body of Christ? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all now is ready. Take and eat the true body. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon to you and be gracious unto you. The Lord Jesus lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Morning again. The voters meeting, which had been scheduled for today after the 11 o'clock service, has been postponed. That was originally scheduled for a summary of the campus development task force, and there will be other information coming to the congregation shortly about future town hall meetings. Next weekend, the Donuts and Devos Bible study for middle school and high school devotions begins at 9:30. The 21st preparation meeting for all of those interested in participating in Servant Saturday, which is on January 27th, is out there, and more information is available in the weekly. The 28th Summer Vacation Bible pre-planning meeting for all of those who may be interested in serving as volunteers this summer, that's on January 28th. And the previous announcement on the prep meeting is for January 21st. And I think, Pastor, that's where I'm supposed to stop and you're supposed to begin, according to the direction God has been given.
Thank you, Rocky. Thanks. I would like to just say thank you to our elders who are always ready and willing to assist for their special assistance today. Thank you, Rocky. And also thank you, Gary. Tom Finger had also driven in and had said that he would be here from last night's service and did show up also with us. But we pulled a team together, and look at how God's people were served communion. I thank you for that. Would like to also say that we have a special guest with us this morning. Actually, three special guests, Matt Wasman and his two daughters. And I think that, Rocky, you had said before, if you could help me with his mom and dad's names. I think they're with us here too.
Many of you may recall that Paul and Helen Zalman were long-term members of this congregation. Their daughter, Esther, was married to a gentleman by the name of Gary Wasman, and Matt is their son. I've, for many years, lived next door to the Zalmans and had the opportunity to watch Matt and his brother Brett grow up, and every now and then an opportunity to shoot some hoops with them. They were much younger than I and much more adept at getting to that basket than me. I was good at fouling them, though. So welcome to Matt and his daughters as they come to before us today. And they are one of our sponsored missionaries from the congregation.
Yes. There's one other story, but we won't share it. Matt, come on up. It's the first time I've had the privilege, and please welcome them. I'm not going to...
Thank you.
I don't want you to take this back to Korea with you.
Okay.
So I'm going to have you talk. I think this is live. Yep. And so if you just take a second and do that and introduce the girls.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
So thank you. It's so nice to be here. It's kind of a short notice for us. As you can see, we're just three of the four. My wife, Dee Dee, Their mother is in Seoul with other responsibilities and tasks, but my parents wanted to spend a few precious days, 12 precious days with their granddaughters, Lily and Olivia. So this is Olivia, and this is Lily. And we originally served in Taiwan for 7 years with LCMS, and then we moved to Seoul, South Korea in 2010. So whether you know it or not, your congregation is one of our supporting congregations. Usually when we come back every 2 years, our time is so short in the States and we're traveling all over. And so it's actually been a few years since we've had the opportunity to visit with you and send our greetings. Our ministry in Asia is involved with education. So we serve with our partner churches and schools, teaching students and people in the community basically about who Jesus is. And we do this through the medium of English instruction. So it's a wonderful opportunity. We can touch the lives of literally thousands of people in South Korea, in Taiwan, Japan, Thailand, and other places in East Asia. So we're happy to be here today, and it's a pleasure to meet you. And so as Rocky said and Pastor said, I do have a connection to your congregation. My parents were married here. My grandparents were married here. Everyone's baptized and confirmed here as well. So we're happy to be here and just send you our greetings. Thank you.
Matt, before you leave, and girls, I just want to say, you know, it's good to meet you, good to see you, and good to meet you
Thank
too,
you.
Matt. And take our greetings back to your lovely wife and blessings on your ministry there. I'd just like to have the congregation know about how you are funded, your ministry. Could you speak to that just quickly?
Sure. So as I mentioned, you are one of our supporting congregations. We have a large network. I should say we have a network that's all over the United States of individuals and congregations. Some people give monthly contributions. Congregations maybe do an activity. Some individuals give just at certain times of the year. But we are 100% tasked with raising all of our funds. So whatever Trinity does contribute on a monthly basis, we're very grateful for that. And that's just how our church operates now. The missionaries have to fund 100%. And so God has blessed us, and we're thankful for, again, the partnership that we have with so many churches and individuals, including Trinity here.
Thank you. Thank you. And God's richest blessings. Could you join me in a prayer for them? I'm not going to touch you. God will. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessing to be upon the Wasmans. And we ask your Holy Spirit to flow through them as your instruments in Seoul, South Korea. May you enable their work in this endeavor to get the gospel out, to be spoken in the language of the people, and to be able to share with them your true word and how people who are blessed by you and how this gospel presence in Seoul, South Korea will again and again bear fruit. So bless and place your mantle, your spirit upon them. As they leave this place and go back to home, we ask, Lord, that you would go with them and grant them safe passage. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thanks. Please join us for our final hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.